Good evening, friends and family, and welcome to the Days of Encouragement. This is day 3 of the Book of Acts. As you know, we're going through the Book of Acts in the month of July. George did Acts 2 yesterday evening, and what a beautiful piece of scripture. But today I have the privilege of taking us through Acts 3. Just a little bit of context for this piece of scripture. This is the second sermon that Peter is delivering to a Jewish, the first sermon was to a multitude of nations, as George told us yesterday. And today, specifically, Peter is actually preaching to a Jewish crowd, specifically as they're going into the temple. It's his second sermon. And the nice thing about the sermons is it's actually pulling together the trend that we're going to see in the rest of the book of Acts of deed and works. So often there will be a miracle or there'll be something that will leave this crowd astounded. And then it will be followed by a sermon or an explanation, which really gives context and gravitas to what is happening and also points everything back to Jesus Christ, to his death and resurrection, to salvation. And we see this pattern through Acts, like on and on and on, which is amazing. Yes, but I'm going to read for us. The first part of the scripture is the healing of the lame man at the gate that is called Beautiful, and the second part would be his sermon. I'm going to read from the sermon. However, going to give a little bit of context for the healing. The layman that was at the gate that is called Beautiful was waiting outside. He gets carried there every day by his family to receive alms from everybody coming to the temple. It was prayer time, so everybody was flocking to the temple to pray. And it's that iconic silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. Peter, when looking at the layman, demand him to walk in the name of Jesus and takes him by the hand and rises him up in the name of Jesus. And as they're after this amazing miracle, they're walking into the temple, and this layman is clinging on to Peter and John and almost making a spectacle, but not in a negative way, more of a, like, people are wondering and they're in amazement because they've known this man. He has been there for 40 years. Luke takes so much effort in the first part of the scripture to explain how lame this man was and how well known he would have been, and just to explain, like, people were watching. He would be at the gate every day asking for alms. What's also really cool in this piece of scripture, just the way Luke wrote it, was that he says that he was leaping, which is to actually bring into fulfillment the prophecy in Isaiah 35 that says the lame will leap like deers. So there's really this consistency in the text that we are seeing. And then we walk into Acts 3 verse 11. It says, while he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him. But you denied him, the Holy and Righteous One, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life. Look how he's contrasting in his words. You killed the author of life, whom God has raised from the dead, to whom we are a witness, and by his name he has made this man strong, who you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given this man perfect health in the presence of you all. So Peter coming, affirming, this is through Jesus and Jesus alone, like immediately saying, this is not by our works. We take no credit. Like, and again, also speaking to the Jewish crowd, you hear him talking about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and really taking it home for them. But what he really, like I'm just going to say, when he really takes it home is the next part, lays the foundation, and then he gives an invite to the crowd to partake in this life that this lame man has now got. He goes from 17 and says, and now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance and also your rulers, but what God foretold by the mouth of the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he has fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, and that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ, appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. And then he goes on to mention Moses and Samuel, again, just to anchor it into like that Jewish crowd's knowledge. These are figures and stories that they know. But the beauty of this is it's this invitation Peter has. He says, Christ gives life. He pours out his spirit. He heals. He's come to fulfill the prophecies of old. Again, making mention to the prophecies that this crowd would have known. They were familiar with these crowds. And then he says, and repent. And there's three wonderful consequences of repenting here. The first is that you will your sins will be blotted away, and that is almost the call of all of the gospel. Like, repent for the gospel is at hand. Repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. And with that repentance comes this justification through Christ alone, through his death. The second call is that a refreshing will come from the presence of God, which is so amazing, because when we repent and our sins are washed clean as snow, like, you know, white as snow, we have the right and we have the freedom to come into the presence of God. And in the presence of God, we will find our refreshing. And we know in Psalm 16 how it says, in his presence there's fullness of joy. And we know the promises of scripture that say, in God's presence there is peace. And what a wonderful reality that on repentance, we have this freedom to come into the peace of the Lord. And then the third one is that it says, he will send the Christ. And once you've repented, once you've put your hope wholly in the Lord, you've said, Lord, I am a sinner. I am in desperate need of a savior. You come into the presence of God, which is now. Like, you can dwell in the presence of God now, today. The second thing is that there's this hope created for the day of Christ, for the day of the coming of the Lord. When the Lord comes in glory, you do not have to worry. You do not have to have fear, because you are a son, because of your repentance, your turning, and your coming back to God. So this beauty here of this piece of scripture where Paul is speaking to these this Jewish crowd, he's saying, your forefathers haven't justified you. Moses said, a prophet like me will come. The prophets of old aren't going to justify you. You know, your affiliation to Abraham is not going to justify you. By Christ alone will you be justified. And as you know Christ, as you come to Christ, and you repent, and you turn back to God, there's a peace, and there's a refreshing, and there's a life, and the Lord will pour his spirit out on us. Again, fulfilling of two prophecies that we see in Joel and in Ezekiel, and again in Acts 2, where we see the spirit of the Lord coming upon everybody, and knowing that it is that spirit that dwells in us that gives us the boldness and the freedom to come into the throne room of grace with that boldness and that freedom, and to have peace with God. So today, my encouragement is that Maranatha, God is coming back. Jesus is coming back for his bride. And what an invitation we have to repent and turn and come into the peace and the presence of God. I read recently something so beautiful, that repentance is a gift from God. It is not a social shame. And today, I just want to invite us as the body, as saints, as people who don't know the Lord, that there's this invitation to partake in the power of the Spirit of the Lord, not because of great works, but because of this peace that it brings us with God, that settles our debt, that settles the, you know, unrighteousness that we have done in the past. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Come into the presence of the Lord and find peace. Let us pray. Ah, Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to come into your presence, Lord, that there's a peace that you have bought for us through the blood of Jesus Christ, that we can put on the righteousness of Christ like a robe and freely partake in your life and in your spirit, Father. Today, I pray, Lord, that as your word is read, Lord, and as we read your word, Father, that we will examine our hearts, Lord, and repent, that we will turn back to you, God, where we know that there's joy and life in abundance, Father. I pray for hearts to be soft, for hearts to turn, Lord, and not to turn out of just a fear, Lord, out of a reverence, yes, but also to turn to know that there is a glorious hope that awaits us on turning, Lord, that we do not have to fear the day of salvation, Father. Thank you, Lord, for our salvation. Thank you that it is freely given. Thank you for your spirit that empowers us to be bold, but more than that, empowers us to be at peace with the Lord, and to be at peace with God. Father, I pray that your word will refresh us today, that your word will give us a hope and a longing for the day of Christ, knowing that we are secure. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.